The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
This message was delivered during Macedonia's 2017 fellowship meeting on February the 25th, 2017, during the Saturday afternoon service. Sermon by Elder Tony Lester from Psalms 48, verses 1 to 2, Behold the Mount of Zion.
It's good to be with you this afternoon, and we'd like to tell the church how much, very much thankful for the good hospitality and all that you have done to put on this meeting. I know from past experiences here with you that it is a lot of work that goes into it, and very thankful for all that you have done. I'm always amazed at a lot of it, and shouldn't be, even as many times as the Lord has showed me time after time, our brothers can speak on things before and tie right into a lot of the things that I have on my mind. And Brother Chase was going to bring to us about how the Lord has blessed us with eternal salvation, how our heaven, our home in heaven is bought and paid for, and it's secure and never fadeth away, but how he has blessed us with a knowledge. He has blessed us with a gift, with a refuge. And just to bring out another point of where Brother Chase was there in Genesis 15 about how great the Lord has blessed in us to see things, well, how far he'll go for us to know these things. When you look there in 15 where he was talking about Abraham, and he said he brought him forth in verse 5 abroad and said, Look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. He told Abraham, he said, Look up into the heavens. He said, number the stars. That's what that tail there means. That Brother David could tell you that number, you know, an accounting term. It needs to count. He said, count the stars. We know just from what our scientists and our astrologers and all know today from the, you know, all these great telescopes we've been blessed to be able to design and everything, that there's no end to the stars. Every time they think they've got them numbered,
right,
there's even more they find. But now I want to show you real quick at what the Lord will do to show us that assurity. Come down to verse 12, where Brother Chase was at, and it said, And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. When the Lord brought Abraham forth and said, Number the stars, it was daytime. Walk out right now and count the stars. We can't see them. But the Lord can reveal things to us to show us his great power, his glory, and to give us that assurance.
Amen.
He showed Abraham something when it was contrary to nature.
Yeah.
That shows there the glory that God still has power over his creation.
Amen.
He gives us what we need when we need it. He gave Abraham what he needed that moment to see. I am God. I am the Almighty. I am.
Right.
He gives us that today. He's still giving us and blessing that with us today. He gives us something. He has given us something as a refuge.
Amen.
Brother Chase mentioned that about a refuge. He's given us a great refuge here in this old world.
Right.
It's called Mount Zion. It's called his church. But you know, before we jump in, I want to just think about for a moment what we have been blessed with. Now, I said Brother Chase has mentioned it, and I've said it many, many times. The greatest gift that a child of God has ever received, ever will receive, is salvation by grace.
Amen.
Second greatest is the knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord knows. He knew before the foundation of the world what we were going to go through. Even as born-again children of God, here in this old sin-cursed earth, he knew. If brothers and sisters, if I'm distracting the light coming off that windshield, I've got to get to the side. It's blinding me just a little bit. I know if some of you are looking at, I'm still walking to the side. I'm trying to find the edge of the pulpit there. But he knew what we were going to go through in this old sin-cursed earth. And he knew that we need a refuge here in this world. We are pilgrims and sojourners in a strange land.
Right.
And he knew what was going to be hurled at us and what we were going to go through day after day after day. And he knew we needed a refuge.
Yep.
By his great wisdom. Let's look at a couple of verses real quick over in Genesis, and then I'll try to get on over into some more of Mount Zion. Genesis chapter 3, and we'll just look at verse 14 here. And this is after Adam has taken of the fruit. He's broken that law that God had given him. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, it said, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all beasts on the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is where the Lord here, he's cursing that old serpent. He says, you're going to crawl upon your belly. You're going to eat the dust of the earth. You're going to breathe it in. He said, but I will put enmity. He said, I will put this enmity between the woman and her seed and thy seed. He's saying, Satan, because of what you've done, because of all this, he said, I'm cursing you. He said, there's going to be enmity between the woman's seed. And that woman's seed is Jesus Christ.
Right.
That seed there's going to be enmity between him and Satan. And what's that seed? What's it going to do? It's going to bruise Jesus' heel, but it's going to bruise Satan's head.
Right.
When Jesus Christ cried out on that cross, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost, there was a death blow, if you will, given to Satan right there. Now, he was a defeated foe ever before that, but there where he legally, it bruised Jesus Christ. It literally bruised his heel. When they drove that nail into his feet there, it was, it bruised his heel. But yet when he gave that death blow to Satan right there, he defeated that enemy.
Right.
Satan was given a death blow.
Amen.
He is a defeated foe. Jesus Christ came forth out of that grave at 3 days and three nights victorious. But brothers and sisters, the Lord knew that even though Satan is a defeated foe, he still can cause us a lot of pain,
yes, sir.
A lot of hurt, a lot of heartache in this old world right now. I've used this, and I may have used it here. Example doesn't matter. It's a great one. I like to use this one. When I was a young boy, my oldest brother, there was a snake come up into the yard. It was a poisonous snake. I don't remember cottonmouth or copperhead. It doesn't matter. But my oldest brother went out and killed the snake. Cut the head off of that snake. Threw it over into the bushes. And being a little young boy, curious, I'm watching and looking. You can see the nerves of the head of that snake still doing this. That mouth just opening and closing because of the nerves in that head. My older brother told me, he said, "You don't get too close to that. Because even though that snake is dead, that head is cut off. There's been a death blow to defeat Satan. He can still give us a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of trouble in this old world. Just like that old natural head of that snake. If I'd have got too close, it still could have bit me. That old head would have still injected poison and it'd give me a lot of pain and anguish." That's the same right now today. Satan is defeated, but yet he knows his time is limited. He doesn't know the time when the Lord's coming back. Only the Lord knows that. But until then, he's going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then when we're not having our guard up, when we haven't got on the whole armor of God to stand against those fiery darts, he can give us a lot of pain. He can give us a lot of heartache. Because you think about Satan, he's a robber, he's a thief. He comes into this world to steal and destroy and to kill. That's all he wants. He can't take that eternal salvation that we have been blessed with by Jesus Christ. He can't take that away from us. But he can rob us of that assurance. He can rob us of that joy, that peace that we have right here, right now, in knowing about that.
Amen.
That foundation that we're built upon. I'm so thankful for those doctrinal points because that's the foundation that we stand on.
Mm-hmm.
That chief cornerstone, as Brother Joe talked about this morning, he makes up that chief cornerstone. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 28 that God laid in Zion the chief cornerstone. God laid that.
Mm-hmm.
The church, Mount Zion, is built upon Jesus Christ.
Right.
No man. Let's look just a little bit, and I'm going to be mindful of the time this afternoon. Over in Isaiah chapter 48, it says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king, God is known in her palaces for refuge. Brother Chase, there's another talking about that refuge.
That's right.
Mount Zion, the church we have, it's a refuge. He's blessed us with this. He's given us a beautiful gift in the church, in Mount Zion. It is a refuge that while we're out in this world, He knows how Satan's going to come at us. He knows how our sin's going to, you know, work at us, wanting us to lead us off into things of the world. He knows how that the world will say, you're going to Saturday to go worship God? That old book you listening, you know, it will beat us down day after day. But He's given us a refuge, a place that we can come and put off the things of the world, and we can hear about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Right.
As He said, great is the Lord. And that Lord there is not just a L-O-R-D with just a capital L. You think about how even in the writing of the scriptures, to look at the little details, that right there is L-O-R-D. Every letter of that is capitalized. That's mean it's talking about not one that just has authority over us. Yes, our Lord and Savior has. But when there's many times when you read the word Lord in scriptures, it's as a Sarah, she called Abraham Lord because in the sense that he had authority over being the head of the household. Or maybe there was some that would call David Lord because he was king over them. No, what the psalmist is writing here says, great is the Lord, meaning this is God Himself. This is our Lord and Savior Jesus says, great is He. There's none greater. You can't swear by any greater. That's what Scripture just, what Brother Chase just brought to our attention. He could swear by no greater.
Right.
We've been given Mount Zion. We've been given a gift by none greater than God Himself. He established the church. What did Christ tell the apostles there in Matthew chapter 16 when He asked them, who do men say that I am? And they went down that list. Some say Apollos, some say John. And He asked, who do you say? And that's one of those times that Peter, we pick on Peter a lot, but this is one time Peter nailed it.
Yeah.
He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God.
Right.
The Lord told him, He said, thou hast spoke well. He said that, I can't get it quoted there, but He said, you're right. He said, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Mount Zion is built upon a rock, a chief cornerstone. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Right here is greatly to be praised. What we're doing today, there's nothing greater in this world than we can do than worship our Lord and Savior. We've come to worship one that is no greater in the world. If you think about it,
right.
I've put things ahead of the church too long for too many years. I thought sitting on a deer stand or maybe sitting around watching some pro football or some NASCAR on Sunday or something, that was a great thing. Brothers and sisters, I wasted my time in those things. Now, I know that's a good pastime when it's of its time, but whenever the house of the Lord, the doors are open, there's a good meeting, the old Baptists are meeting, or especially on Sunday mornings, there's nothing greater, and it can be a Wednesday night or wherever. Right here in the house of the Lord, wherever Mount Zion's meeting. It's not just in this building, but it's wherever the children of the Lord have met together to worship Him in spirit
Amen.
And truth.
Amen.
He says, great is the Lord and greatly be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of His holiness. I want to grab a couple of verses over in Isaiah real quick. So He says there in the mountain of His holiness, Isaiah chapter 2, and verse 2, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the tops of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And it says, come to pass in the last days, and I don't have time to try to go in to prove that we are in the last days. We have been for some 2,000 years.
Yeah.
As Brother David can tell, that's the one he can write down and try to explain a little better. But we're in the last days. Yeah, I know that there's coming a last day in the sense of the Lord tells us that that's the best way He can tell it for our little minds to understand. There's coming a last day when He's going to come back. He's going to part the sky. He's going to call forth everyone that He purchased on that cross, and we're going to meet Him in the air and go back to be with Him in heaven forever and ever. He says, but it shall come in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. One of the things that Jesus Christ did while he was here on this earth for those 33 and a half years, and that 3.5 years of his ministry, he established the church.
Right.
He established it. He gave it to the apostles and said, here, this is the way that I will be worshipped. This is the way that you shall worship me. When we come into the house of the Lord and we have preaching, we have singing, we have prayer, and you can put it in whatever order you want, it doesn't matter to him. I know I like the way we do it because the singing helps me get in a better mindset. But it's as long as we are doing what the Lord has established, what he has given us, it's pleasing unto him. Because this is the way he has set it up.
Right.
We don't need to add anything and we don't need to take anything away from it.
Amen.
But he says here that in the last days it shall come in the past that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the tops of the mountains. And think about that for a moment. He said that the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Now we've got a lot of mountains in our lives. I've only told you three of mine, and I still struggle with the deer hunting one, but Lord help me every time. Sunday morning, Sister Crystal says, get up and let's go. I'm picking on her. We can put a lot of things ahead of the Lord. He can be a mountain. And there's a lot of things that are important in our lives. Taking care of family, jobs, they are things that are. You know, Scripture tells us a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But yet, every one of those has to be in the proper perspective,
right,
in their proper place. There's nothing in the world, and I know there's times that we cannot be in the house of the Lord because of reasons, because of sicknesses or illnesses of ourselves or family members. But the house of God, Mount Zion, reigns above all those.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in the world, and I mean that everything. And as we have to go to the Lord to realize sometimes what we have put before him. But he says, and we'll move on, says that the last of the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Now he's not saying that once he established a church that everybody under the sun, every nation is going to flow into it. But what he's saying, that those that flow in, those that come to Mount Zion, especially in the times of when it was established in days of Christ, all nations, they were all nationalities coming in. They were Jews, they were Gentiles, they were Romans, they were Greeks, you name it. They were slowly all came. And yes, brothers and sisters, we see it even today. I mean, there's many that come to the Lord's church, comes to Mount Zion. I was born and raised here in North Mississippi, but there are men that I have come in, sat down with, and worshiped the Lord. We've seen and heard a couple of brothers from over in Africa. There's a nation there that has come in. The Lord's church has been blessed to be in Africa now. All the nations. It's not to say just because of the Jews, the way they thought they were the only ones that were the chosen. No, he says his church is for all the nations.
Right.
It doesn't matter skin color or anything. And he says that this is Mount Zion, and many people should go up to the mountain of the Lord and the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He said he shall teach us his ways. And I think we've heard several times from the brothers this weekend about there is a time when we are born again. We're born from above. We all, every child of God between conception and death, will hear that still small voice.
Right.
We'll hear that voice that says, live, and we shall live.
Right.
And at that very moment that we hear that, he writes his laws in our hearts and in our minds. We have a knowledge. We have that inward knowledge of Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of us, we're not blessed all like the Apostle Paul, that when he was born again, he had a head full of head knowledge, if you will, and it started all making sense to him a lot more then. But we are coming to the house of the Lord. We've got a heart. We've got a desire to worship the Lord. We see ourselves as a wretched sinner, but we don't know that much about him. Some of us have been drugged to church, as they would say, and you may have known a whole lot more than what, you know, whenever I came, I knew some things growing up around the old Baptist, but I didn't know as much as I know now, and I pray I don't know as much now as I will 20 years from now if the Lord blesses me to keep coming to Mount Zion.
Right.
But he is the one that teaches.
Yeah.
There's been very able ministers stand in this pulpit. You've got a very able man serving you now.
But the Lord was the one that was doing the teaching.
Right.
Every time we've learned. Brother Sidney, I know most of you here know, probably all of you, I guess, know Brother Sid. I'm very thankful for what he has taught. But Brother Sid would be the first to know that the only way he was teaching, the only way he was preaching, is with God's grace.
Right.
That's why Christ said for us to pray that he would call laborers to go into the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
It's God that calls. The teaching, how we learn. We've been blessed by the Word of God, the written Word of God, and he said he would preserve this for all generations. We're going to have this. He's given us another blessing in knowing that we have the Word of God. It may be harder someday to get this Word, to hunt it up. There was times in the history of the Lord's people that they would take one Bible and separate it by chapters and pass it around the community so that everybody could read the Bible. We've been blessed today. I've got probably 6 or 8 Bibles just sitting on the shelf, if you will, just spares, as I call them. Whenever this one wears out, I've got another one. We've had this. We may get another time. It may come another time. I pray it doesn't. But yet the Lord still is blessing us. He's still feeding us. He's still calling men from the walks of life to be able to feed us, to preach this gospel unto us.
Right.
Here in Mount Zion. You think about that eunuch, that Ethiopian eunuch there in Acts. The Lord sent Philip to go preach to him. And he went those some 90 miles across that desert to that one man. And he sees him. He's there reading. He's reading in the book of Isaiah in chapter 53. And eunuch asks him if he understands what he's reading. He said, "How can I lest some man guide me?"
Mm-hmm.
Mount Zion. You think about that for a moment. That eunuch knew he needed somebody to instruct him more perfectly. I think one of the brothers talked about Aquila and Priscilla instructing Paulus. I think it may have been Brother Tim yesterday about instructing him more perfectly. We can come having some knowledge to Mount Zion. But yet when we come and we sit and we listen and we study and we read and we pray, the Lord blesses here in Mount Zion for us to be instructed more perfectly. He blesses men with the gift of preaching to be able to expound upon these things and to get ourselves out of the way and let the Spirit flow to teach us, to lift us up. He said he was the one that would teach us. He says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in Mount Zion of His holy. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion." The joy of the whole earth. I talk about how that was the mountain above the mountain there, that there's nothing greater. But even in the earth, all the things that you can think of that makes you happy, all the, you know, the things that you get joy from, there's nothing greater than right here in Mount Zion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When we hear about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah.
This is the Word of God. This is God saying, "My house is the joy of the whole earth." What a great gift we've been given. What a blessing. What a refuge we have. And I'm going to move on. Look at a couple more places here. In book of Isaiah chapter 53. And I know there's many places we can go and talk about Mount Zion, but I just want to look at these this afternoon real quick. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 20, Isaiah even writes here, he says, "To look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities, thine eyes shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken." Isaiah tells us to look upon it. What Isaiah is there is telling us to do is to think about it. Think about what we have in the church. What we've been blessed with in this refuge. We have an enemy that's a defeated foe. You don't hear about that out in the world. Matter of fact, whenever he tells us to put on that whole armor of God that we may stand against the wiles of the devil, he said, "Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against..." I went blank all of a sudden. We wrestle against wickedness in high places. We wrestle against the things out in the world. We can see it all through the world how that there's wickedness in high places. There's wickedness everywhere we turn. Satan's got a hold of so much things out there. But right here in Mount Zion, we have a refuge. He hasn't got a hold, and he'll never get a hold of Mount Zion if we're standing and we're looking as we should. Yes, he can come in into a local body if we let down our guard and we're not steadfast to be standing guard and looking on the walls of Zion and blowing the alarm and the horn and sounding ring the alarm when we see the enemy at the door. But he will never defeat the church. We'll always be Mount Zion somewhere in this earth. So look upon her.
Yep.
He says, look upon her. Said she is beautiful of our solemnities. Thy eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that will not be taken down.
Right.
It goes right back to what Jesus told the apostles. The gates of hell shall not prevail against her.
Amen.
It will not be. Nobody's going to pull those stakes up or break those cords. I remember growing up, we had a big old tent we'd go camping in. We'd drive them old stakes down, and as a little boy, I thought, man, these things have got to be a mile long. And we'd get pulling them out, it seemed like they were 2 miles long. But you know, his church will always be here. He's the one that has driven those stakes down, and they're driven down into bedrock. They won't be moved. He's that chief cornerstone.
Right.
And he'll never allow somebody to cut those stakes.
Amen.
The doctrine and practice that he has given the church will never change because of his immutability.
Right.
He will never change his mind. Let's move on just a little bit. It says, but for there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. And Mount Zion, the Lord will be unto us broad rivers and streams. Cool places to drink, if you will. What does the scripture tell us? That he would have be flowing. Be rivers of flowing waters, the Spirit from coming forth from his belly. I'm getting my quoting this afternoon. But yet right here is where we receive the Spirit. When we come to the house of the Lord and we're in Mount Zion and the Lord blesses a man to preach and we feel the Spirit. We have those cold drinks of water coming from those deep wells. It's cold water to a thirsty soul. Because you said that where it's beautiful for situation. I don't know what your situation is right now. It may be a good one. It may be a bad one. You may be, as Brother Tim says, Brother Bobby Willis wrote that last article before he died, that we're either going through a storm or just come through a storm or we're fixing to head into a storm.
Right.
I don't know what your situation is, but the Lord does, and he knows how to guide the minister. He knows what to put on Brother David or Brother Chance or Brother Bobby, any of these ministers' hearts to preach. He knows what you need.
Right.
I don't. But yet if I'm listening to the Lord, he does, and he can bless us all to be refreshed, to have a place of refuge here in Mount Zion. This is a great gift that we've been given. And he says there, but there shall be broad rivers and streams where shall no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. He says, no galley with oars. You do a little study on that. The old galley ships was the ships that they used to use for war and battle. They would have men in there, the slaves usually, with great numbers of oars so they could get there with a lot of speed, or if they had to ram another ship. It was a ship of war, if you will. And that galleot ship was a ship that the king would come in after they had been the conquering of an enemy. Brothers and sisters, here, we don't have to worry about someone coming in and saying, I'm going to take over the church. We're going to take it and go this way with it because the Lord is the one who has established her. We don't have to worry about it changing. We don't have to worry about ever so often the head of the church dying and us having to go vote for somebody else now to go set in somewhere over in another country and say, I'm going to be over the church, because Jesus Christ is the preeminence. He is the head of the church, and that will never change.
Amen.
That's why it's a peaceful place. I don't come in here at Macedonia and wonder, well, are they going to be talking about Jesus Christ? Are they going to be talking about somebody else? Is Brother David coming in saying, no, we don't want to have that election? No, this is Mount Zion. And I trust that Brother David was to go off, and I ain't saying they will, that there's some good brothers and sisters going to say, nope, that's not the old paths. That's not the way the Lord established Mount Zion.
Right.
But she's a peaceful habitation. I am going to go ahead and start bringing this to a close. Let's look over at another verse. This is in the book of Obadiah. And I know that's probably a book that's not many of you heard preached from. So I can tell you, it's right before Jonah. You probably know a little bit more about where that one's at. But in Obadiah, the prophet writes in verse 17, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Obadiah here writes, he says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. There's a deliverance in the church. It's a timely sense. We hear about our eternal deliverance. We hear about a lot of eternal things, but there's also a deliverance of being here in the church. He says that the house of Jacob shall possess
their possessions. That house of Jacob, you think about Jacob, that, what he's talking about? What was Jacob's name changed to? Israel. The house of Israel. Spiritual Israel, if you will. Because all of Israel is not of Israel. Those, the nations that flow in, the spiritual Israel, all of those, when we come to the house, when we come to Mount Zion, this refuge, this gift that we have been given, when we dwell here, we are able to possess the, or let me get the wording, possess their possessions. Mm-hmm. We've been blessed with something in a timely sense right here in the church when we dwell in it. Brother Joe spoke this morning about that prodigal son. Over in Luke, and you don't have to turn there, I just want to grab a couple of some verses there. In Luke 15, it says, "And a man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." He says that that young man went to his father and said, "Give me my living. Give me what I has coming to me." And his father gave him a gift. And he took that gift and went out into the world and squandered it. He had been blessed with a great blessing. Brothers and sisters, Obadiah is telling us the same thing. We have been blessed with a great gift in Mount Zion. But we can take it and squander it. We can go into the world and just live any way we think is right. And we can lose the possessing of our possessions. Because while we're here, when we possess, when we come in and dwell in Mount Zion, there's a rest. There's a peace here. There's a joy of that salvation. David even wrote about Aaron in Psalms 51 when he had committed that sin with Bathsheba, that the Lord had taken away something from him. Yeah. He didn't take away his eternal salvation. He didn't take away that he was a child of God, but he took away that joy. We can lose that peace and comfort that we have here in Mount Zion, that we have in our eternal salvation. Because that's what Satan wants to do. That's why he warns us of Satan as that roaring lion. He can get us so taught up in the things of the world that we forget that it is time to go to church. And we can even forget, as Peter said, that we have been purged of our old sins. Right. Now that sounds funny to sometimes to me, but I think, no, it's not, because I can look back just not that many years ago in my life, and there was times that I would even fear dying, even though I heard my grandfather and my older brothers and many elders talk about how that the Lord had purchased us. But yet, I knew from my own past experiences how I can get caught up into the world and not be in the house of Zion.
Right.
And could lose even that little joy that I had. That's what Obadiah is saying. Whenever we're here, when we're dwelling, we're laboring here, we can possess possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about what Brother Joe brought out. Like I said, just how the Lord ties it all together about that. That prodigal son, and said, "When he had fanned, had filled his belly with a husk, and the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." Brothers, we can get out in this world and we can starve when we're not dwelling here in the mountainside.
Yeah.
But it said when he came to himself, when we humble ourselves, and we come to Mount Zion, begging for a home, or begging for forgiveness of what we've done.
Yeah.
As brothers and sisters, this is the joy of the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
The joy of the whole earth. There again, I don't remember which brother, may have been Brother Chase, talked about the earnest of our inheritance. That prodigal son still had an inheritance. He was still his father's son.
Yeah.
He had lost the joy. But yet when he came back, his father went and kissed him, put a ring on his finger, put the good robe on him, because his son had come back. You think about of all the meetings that you may have been in, about the ministers who have been blessed to just preach Jesus, and to a point that you feel like you can just rush up and touch heaven
that you just in your mind are saying, man, if he'd just come back right now. As Brother David Montgomery said, there's no better way to end an old Baptist meeting than with the Lord coming back.
Right.
But that's just an earnest. That's just a little drop in the bucket, if you will, of what heaven is going to be like. If this is the joy of the whole earth, and it is, Lord, come quickly. I'm looking forward to being with Him in heaven. I thank you for your kind attention.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.